Blog Talk Radio.
Love to my East Coast family, Mesa. She's from Baltimore family.
At this point in my life, I just want to have fun. And I want to be free. Spiritually, I have grown, and I know I have a long way to go. But what I do know right now,
to join to subconference,
that God is
amazing. From 1 to 4, or
and the universe is amazing.
The
and there's so much out there for all of us, that we never have to worry and shed a tear.
To join to subconference, press number
I'm looking forward to the rest
from
of my
1
life.
To 4, or press star to return to the conference. To join to subconference, press number of subconference from 1 to 4, or press star to return to the conference.
He said,
expand my territory. With your hand you got me, keep me from evil and causing anyone any pain.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. I'm super excited today. Wow. You know, we're getting close to the Mother's Day, and as we honor the mothers this week, honoring our ancestors, honoring those who walked this journey before us, the feminine energy, the presence of all the mothers on this line. I just want to send each and every one of you love this morning as we get ready to center our mind and center our thoughts, centering the very essence of who we are. And as I stop in this right now moment, just to give honor and love to my mother, Miss Anastasia McAdoo, inviting her into this right now moment. Inviting Miss Mama Colette, who was the midwife of this call, who mothered this call, who always sent energy and love that this call may grow and that we may manifest the glory of all those as God. So as I invite the two main mothers into my spirit, into this call, to be a part of this morning, to remind us that we are the dreams of our ancestors. You see, your ancestors had a dream. The dream that one day they may not get there with us, but the fact that they dreamed that we could have a better life, dreamed that we could have more choices, freedom to navigate. So as we move through this call this morning, I just want us to acknowledge the feminine presence of mother, the divine presence of our mothers, our mother's mothers, Mother Nature, Mother Earth, and you as a mother, if you're a mother. So today, let's just center our mind on the divine presence of mother. As we take in a deep breath, breathing in through our nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight. Release on all things through our nose, releasing all things that no longer serve a higher purpose. As we honor the divine presence of all of our mothers, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, Mama Colette, Mama McAdoo, that's my mother, and your mother, and all of our ancestors. As we become still and know that I am God, God. In this right now moment, I want you to just breathe in through your nose. Be still and know that I am, that I am. Breathe, family. And release. Be still and know that I am God, God, Divine Mother. Breathe, family. Peace. And last time, be still and know that I am God, goddess, breathe and release. And as we center our mind, giving honor and praise to the divine presence, as we move closer to the day that we celebrate Mother, so many talk to who are not talking to their mother, upset with their mother. This morning, I just want us to give thanks and give forgiveness for anything that we may have thought that our moms didn't do right or whatever reason. We may be in disharmony. I want you to forgive as we hear Ayana Vinzon prayer for forgiveness for our mother.
Day 4, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my mother. Blessed Father God, Holy Mother God, today I ask for and allow myself to receive and experience your grace. Today I claim my freedom as I declare my willingness and readiness to release my mother from all hurt, anger, woundedness, judgment, disappointment, and sorrow hidden anywhere in my consciousness or being. I surrender all memories, experiences, circumstances, and situations where I have held my mother with blame or fault. I ask to be lifted above any and all judgments, critiques, assessments, perceptions, beliefs, and habitual patterns of thought in which I see and hold my mother as anything less than your perfect child. I ask that you fill me with your compassion, your truth, your knowledge that allows me to see my mother as your daughter, whom you love, and in whom you are well pleased. Lift me beyond my intellect and ego that I may behold my mother with all my heart as you do. I rest in thee. I let it be. And so it is. Today, I forgive my mother.
So as we move through the presence of this day, whether our mothers are still here or in the spirit world, I want to remind you to send love into the divine presence of our mother, reminding us of the divine love. I often thank my mom for being the vehicle that sent me to the planet. You see, to be raped, beaten, hooked on drugs, and still kept me, I sometimes think, wow, what an honor. Sometimes when I think about Mama Colette, I think about all the times that she only saw my greatness. Even when times when other people saw the worst in me, she saw the best in me. Oh no, not Janine. She got a good heart. And so I just honor her presence this morning. Because even when I couldn't see my own greatness, she reminded me of my greatness. So today, for those who may not have their mother in the spirit, let's just honor the presence of them today. For those who have their mothers and you may be going through some changes with them or whatever, let's just forgive today. And those who just have their mothers in physical presence, just remind them today that you love them. And that's the message for our morning call today. It's all about just reminding you today, remembering the divine feminine, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, our mothers, our mother mothers, our ancestors, and all those. Thank you, divine presence of the feminine energy this morning. And for those that are mothers or are mothering others, just honor your own presence. Yes. You tuned into the Love Journey, another episode of Love Experience. We're going to do, I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to go right into Lisa Nichols. I love this. I was listening to this, and I wanted to share it because it reminds us of sometimes, you know, we forget that there's a champion in us. Because sometimes when we're planting seeds, we expect to have the harvest at the time when we're planting it. And see, when you're planting seeds, you can't have a harvest at the same time, but the harvest will come. You see, this will remind you that your story is so important and your story is so valuable because your story is tied to so many other people's destiny and purpose. And your story will liberate others. So as we listen to Diane Reeves testify, we're going to go right into Lisa Nichols because it's about 40 minutes, but it's such a good one. It just stirred my soul because it reminds us of the questions that will stir our soul. What is tugging at your heart today? What dream is waiting for you to bring it alive? What dream that you have inside your heart that's waiting for the world to see? You see, your dreams no longer can be tucked away. See, your dreams no longer saying, I don't want to be tucked aside no more. I'm ready for you to allow myself to come forth and play full out. You see, your dreams are calling you this morning. And so that's what Lisa Nichols is going to talk about. Answer the call of the dream. The dream that only you came to the planet. You see, sometimes our dreams are so big that they're bigger than us, and sometimes it's so frightening to even think of the dream or even think of anything remotely that has anything to do with us playing full out. Well, I pray today's call will be a message to not allow you to let your dreams die, to let your dreams stay up in the air. It's time to pull the dust off the dream and allow your dream to soar. This is what I hear. And then we're going to Lisa Nichols' question that will stir the soul.
I think that there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it. And embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind. and all that stuff, just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you plan them, but I believe God and time are synonymous, and through time God reveals all things. You gotta be still, stand in love, and pay attention.
I'm going to tell you a few stories. I come from a very strong family of storytellers. And in Africa, before they could read, They use stories to tell history. They use stories to inspire. They use stories to motivate. They use stories to hold you accountable. Everything was rooted in a story. And I think we all, at the end of the day, like a good story. Yes, yes? Now, I'm also a Chicken Soup for the Soul co-author, so I know a little something about stories. When I was asked, when I co-authored Chicken Soup for the African American Soul, I had to read 3,200 stories to find 189 phenomenal stories. And then when I co-authored the second book, by the time I finished that, I had read over 5,500 stories to find the best 189. So I found the power in stories because I was liberated through someone else's story. I was empowered. I was inspired. I was healed through someone else's story. So tonight I'm going to share a few stories with you. I want to start with, there was a time my grandmother and I were sitting and my grandmother said, baby, she starts every conversation with baby. She said, baby, she said, when you get my age, you're supposed to sit in your favorite rocking chair and you're supposed to tell the stories of your life. But you got to tell the story to your grandchildren and your grandchildren's children and your neighbors. And just tell the story to anyone listening. Tell the story of your life, baby. She said, but when you're your age, honey, you're supposed to go out and make sure the story is really good to tell. Yes, yes? Now, when I'm in church, we say amen. But we're not in church. And when I'm with my girlfriends, they say, you go, girl, when I say something like, but don't worry, I'm not going to do it to you, Chip. You don't have to say, you go, girl. So here, when I say something that you like, and my friends from Calgary, you guys know, from Canada, when I say something that you like that resonates with you, don't worry about your neighbor if your neighbor gets it as well. You know, Vision talked about this conference is going to have several things. It's going to have education, information, and while I teach wealth-building programs. I'm on my way to China to teach wisdom and wealth and teach wealth-building to 3,300 Taiwanese people. While I teach entrepreneur development, while I teach speakers how to build a platform as a speaker, bootstrapped to big time, building themselves up from what some would say nothing to absolutely something, while I teach all those curriculums, and I'm very excited about them, having built two multi-million dollar companies and having created a multi-million dollar brand, I know a little about making a dream and turning my passion into profit. I know a little something about that. However, today I came just to inspire and touch your heart. You've got some of the best content on the planet in the last couple of days. Would you agree? Some of the best content on the planet. Some of the best content on the planet. And, you know, I'm a content queen. I sit around a lot of content providers. And I can say this is some of the best content on the planet. And so I just came to talk to your heart. We can have other experiences where I teach you techniques, but you've learned a lot of really great techniques. I thought I'd just talk to your heart. Is that okay with you guys? Is that all right? Just make sure that everything that's been given is settled and rooted into some good substance and some good soil. Is that okay, you guys? Otherwise, it was just a great experience that comes and goes, and we don't want this to go anywhere. So let's root it. As David said, let's anchor it. And so that's what my assignment is going to be with you guys. And so when I say something that resonates with you, I want you to say yes, yes. But I want you to say the second yes louder than the first yes. Turn the volume up on that one. I want you to say yes, yes. The volume on the second yes has to take you right outside the comfort zone. Try that. One, two, three.
Yes.
That's pretty good. Not quite worth my trip to Costa Rica. I want that second yes to be a yes that clearly is not a yes you would do on an ordinary day. I want it to be something that just feels different the minute you do it. Try it again. One, two, three.
Yes.
That's getting better. Now, I think on the third time we do this, it's going to make that chandelier shake. I just believe it. I want that second yes to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I want it to make that little pit in your stomach kind of jump a little bit. You have to absolutely jump way out of your comfort zone. Try it again. One, two, three. Every time I say something that speaks to your soul, I want you to say,
yes.
Every time I say something and you say, that's absolutely me, I want you to say,
yes.
Every time I say something, that part of you that's coming alive, even the part that you haven't acknowledged yet, I want you to say,
yes.
Even with knees knocking and teeth chattering sometimes, you have to say,
yes.
When you leave here and someone gives you an opportunity that feels good, you may not know the how, but it just feels right, I want you to say,
yes, sir.
When someone says something to you and they may not even know about the yes, yes, and they say, baby, do you want to do something different today? Even if you don't want to, but you know you got to get out of your comfort zone and say,
yes, yes.
Now, because they weren't here, they might think you're a little strange. But that's okay, because I realize when you're birthing a dream, you might have to be willing to be perceived a little strange. Yes, yes? That's your cue. That was one of those moments when I said something resonated with just say it. Don't ask for permission. I'd rather you live a life of asking for forgiveness versus asking for permission. So anytime I say something that speaks to you again, just say those words. And so I realize that sometimes you may have to seem a little strange. And why would I have you say yes, yes? Because in 2009, you may have only said yes one time. And if we want to get something different, we might have to do something different. Even if it starts with just one extra yes. Yes, yes?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes?
Yes, yes.
So many times people don't want to step out for the fear of being perceived strange.
Yes, yes.
Well, let me tell you the freedom in strange. See, there was a gentleman who said, let's take a long walk for freedom. Let's walk miles, over 36 miles, and I think some of them walked in their Stacy's and the church shoes. And I know somebody said, Martin, you have to be crazy. And Martin Luther King said, let's walk anyway, and we all are the benefactors of that walk. Yes, yes? I know that Mahatma Gandhi said, let's just be the change we want to see in the world. And some control freak said, Mahatma, you got to be crazy. And he said, well, that's all right. And I know Mother Teresa, when she said, let's end hunger by feeding one child at a time, someone that wanted a massive buffet said, look, Mama T, you got to be crazy. And that gentleman who spent 27 years in prison and said, I will leave prison and lead the largest forgiveness movement in history. Someone that looked just like him with the same skin color in the jail cell next to him said, Nelson, you got to be crazy. And so if someone calls you crazy because of your dream, just look at them and say, well, you know, I'm in some damn good company. Yes, yes? Yes, yes?
Yes,
yes? Yes,
yes?
Yes,
yes.
Well, my grandma told me to live a life, play big, make the story good, make the story great, baby, make the story juicy. I'm that little girl from South Central Los Angeles who grew up between the Harlem Crip 30s and the Rolling 60s, and those are not cheerleading squads, y'all. I'm that little girl who my best grade in school was a C. I mean, when other people got C's, they got frustrated. When I got a C, I did the happy dance. Go, Lisa, it's your birthday. Go, Lisa, it's your birthday. That's a really good grade for me. Anybody else? Anybody else got a C is a great grade? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And so, you know, I was that kind of kid where I needed to hear it several times. I tell people, I'm not a fast learner, I'm a thorough learner. But in school, that didn't quite work. And so I struggled all 12 years. I look at my life now, my grandmother says, baby, make sure the story is good to tell. Make sure it's juicy to tell. And don't allow anyone to take your dream away, no matter what. And I'm off at 18. I'm like, okay. So I go off and I start writing. Grandma, I want to be a speaker. She's like, okay, baby, well, start writing. Start speaking. I'd write a speech for her, and I take it to her and say, Grandma, here's the speech. And she'd read it, and I said, no, let me recite it to you. And I'd recite my speech to my grandmother, and she'd go, And then I'd circle the part that she said, on, because that was a good part. And at the end of the speech, I'd say, here, put it in the folder, Grandma. She put it in the little black folder. I still have the picture of the folder, black folder with Lisa's speeches on it. She put it away in the folder. I come back in 2 weeks, and I read another speech to her, and she goes, and I circle. I said, here, Grandma, put it in the folder. I did this for like a year. I put like 12 speeches in her folder. I'm like, Grandma, I got some great speeches. She said, yes, you do, baby. She said, but baby, do you want to inspire millions? I said, yes, hundreds of millions, baby. I said, yes. She said, well, don't you think you need to tell somebody other than Grandmama about these speeches? Yes, yes. You got to share your dream. You can't be afraid to share. Sean talked about it. You got to share your dream. You got to be willing to look a little strange. You got to be willing to sometimes walk alone. I tell you, when you're walking alone with your dream, it's because no one else gave, the God didn't give the dream to anybody else but you. Yes, yes? And you're impregnated with something that's greater than you. So if it feels uncomfortable, it amazes me how when it gets hard, you want to quit. You're impregnated with a dream bigger than you. What part of labor did you think would be comfortable? Well, you're birthing something. You're birthing something. You're birthing something. You're birthing something. You go in, when a woman goes into labor, she's not thinking about the labor. She's thinking about the other side of labor. That's the only reason why we sign up for this. Yes, yes?
Yes, yes.
And that whole time when we're in labor, we're thinking about it's worth it. It's going to be worth it. When I hold my baby, and when our husbands, our children's father beside us, they're saying, come on, please, please keep going. Please let it come out because something beautiful is coming. Let's just hold our dreams the same way, precious and delicate, no matter what. And sometimes we say, I want it to come out sooner, quicker, faster. I'm in a rush. I'm looking at Joe, and I'm looking at Sean. I'm looking at Vision. I'm looking at David. I need it to come out faster. And just like any doctor would say, baby, you got to go full term. Because if it don't come full term, it's going to be in danger of not being fully developed. Your vision needs lungs to breathe life into the world. I had to go through a journey to get in front of you today. I wasn't helicopter landed here, and the secret didn't get me here, nor was I an overnight success, because if I was, that was the longest night of my life. Yes, yes? Because long before the lights came on, long before Chicken Soup called me, people say, how did you get the Chicken Soup deal, Lisa? How did you get the Secret deal, Lisa? How did you get on Oprah, Lisa? How did you get on Larry King? How did you get on Escher? How did you get there? I said, I just answered the phone. But the question you should ask me is, how did I get the phone to ring? Yes, yes?
Yes, yes?
Yes,
yes.
See, it's what you're willing to do when the lights are off. It's what you're willing to do in the dark of the night. It's what you're willing to do when no one's looking. It's what you want to do for the person that cannot give an endorsement because no one would listen to theirs. They're not quite important enough. It's what you would do for them.
Yes.
Right. It's what you would do just because it's the right thing to do. It's what you will do because it's harder for you not to do it.
Yes.
It's what you will do that, sure, you'll do an energy exchange of finances, but if they don't have it, you'll find a way to make it work just because it's the right thing to do. That's how you make the phone ring. That's how you make Secret come. There's no secret in who I've been. That was just a project that I attached myself to leverage my name and to contribute to the world. And by the way, people say, oh, my God, you must be a millionaire after the Secret. I did that for free. So all you guys thought I was bathing in $100 bills? I might be, but it's not from the Secret. I said yes because Rhonda Byrne asked me one thing. She said, can you help me create a piece of work that would change humanity? That was the question she asked you guys. It just felt like the right thing to do. I had no idea it would explode the way it did. It just felt right. Do it because it feels right. Do it because, do your dream because it's keeping you up at night. See, you think your dream is too hard to do, it gets difficult to do. Well, I'm going to tell you something, it's more difficult not to do it. You ain't going to ever get no sleep. Because it's in your being, it's in your fiber. The scariest thing to do was to say yes to my champion. Because then I had to put my story aside. Then I had to be the little girl from South Central LA who had three fights a week to get home from school, who barely got overseas, who was 100% under the poverty line. I had to be her in my past. She could not fit in my present. She simply got me to where I am today. I don't hold on to her. I embrace her, love her, but she doesn't hold me back. She doesn't impede in me. I don't use that story. People say, how can you be an African-American woman on stage, main stage, with predominantly white men, and you're just like, you're as powerful as they are. How did you get there? I said, I didn't know I couldn't be there. Yes, yes? I didn't get the memo. Like, what are you willing to give yourself permission to do? I'm going to ask you some key questions throughout this process. And I didn't come here to so much give you a lot of information. I came here to ask you some questions that might stir your soul. I came here to share some stories with you that might open your heart and allow you to give yourself permission to play bigger just because it's the right thing to do, because it's your assignment. Because until you say yes to your big picture assignment, you won't be at peace with the current day. You know that. Yes, yes? And that the world is waiting on you, that your gift is not given to you for you. Your gift is given to you to help save our lives, to help change our lives. You keep thinking it's about you. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm tired. It ain't about you. It's about us. That because you said yes to your champion, I get to breathe deep. I get to learn how to love my child. I get to reach out to someone through internet marketing when that's not my gift. I get to have a life book for my baby. I'm signed up. All the financial stuff was great, but when David said, have a book for my son and my grandchildren, done. Yes, yes. Your dream, your vision, your goal, your business, your champion is to save our lives. So if you don't do it for you, please do it for me. Whatever that takes, be willing. See, my job is to go through the world and just love on people, help to transform, heal, and inspire them. And I'm just going to show you some pictures. I've gone all around the world. And my job is just to, that's Kim, the comedian from In Living Color. I don't know if you guys remember that long time ago, and Living Single. And my job is just to go around the world and inspire. This is a group of teens. And one of the things I love about being well off in business is that it allows me to give more away. So I get to say yes more to people's requests. Yes, yes? Everyone in this room should be wealthy, extremely wealthy. Because when people do good and people do well, they simply get to do more good. Yes. You're the best people to be wealthy because you're going to be responsible with that. You can find a cure for something. I believe that if we all put our heads together and our finances together, our resources together, there shouldn't be a homeless child this holiday season. Yes. There shouldn't be a hungry mother this holiday season. I just believe that. I'm crazy enough to believe. See, I'm okay with being crazy. I'm absolutely okay with being crazy. I'm crazy enough to believe that if we all and when we all get it right and make it phenomenal, make tons of money, we can come back here and say, okay, now, let's all put a million in, and let's target here first. And let's put another million in, let's target here first, and we can handle it. So you should be wealthy. You got to be wealthy. It's your responsibility to be wealthy. This woman, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman, walked up to me with an African-American baby or a black baby. I looked and said, She said, I just got him a week ago from Nigeria. I adopted him, and I brought him straight to you so you can bless my baby. And so that's what... When you decide to step into your passion, step into your greatness, you decide to play full out no matter what, you can keep going. It's just a matter, this woman here stood up and said, you talked about preventing suicide with teens, but I want you to know that my husband and I are $340,000 in debt, and my husband was contemplating suicide, and he listened to your DVD, You Deserve It, and decided to live. And so that was the hug when she said, thank you for saving my husband's life. And just traveling around the world and just enjoying and celebrating people and stepping into my greatness and saying yes to my gift. When are you going to say yes, play full out?
When are you going to say no matter what? When does it become not an option for you? See, for many of you, your success is still an option. That's one of my investors. My investor not only invested tons of money in my business, she then turned around and brought all of her children to the workshop. Then she turned around and began to train with me for the last 3 years. So when you can step into relationships, she was happy, grateful to give me the money, then grateful to bring her family, and then grateful to come learn. When you're contributing, like Joe said, when you're contributing high, it all seems to roll out. And then there's the opportunity to simply package yourself and call it a business. That's it. You're just packaging yourself and calling it a business. I just want to share a little bit of the journey with you, because many of you came here saying, oh, I'm going to see the secret lady. Right? How many of y'all call me the secret lady? Really, it's so true. It's all right. Before the secret lady, I was a chicken soup lady. And then I became the secret lady. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Because when there's no ego, or ladies, no she-go, we get to have our own. Let me write that down. I don't need you to know my name. Just be inspired by something I said or did, and my day is complete. I'll just let you fly through some of these. This was the first time when I had my company, I was able to take my entire company on. Our strategic planning session was on a yacht around San Diego, and we talked about transforming lives while we watched dolphins, you know, swim. And so just about, some of you guys might know that gentleman. He swore we were dressed alike because we should be a couple. I was able to convince him not. That's Les Brown, one of my mentors. And this was key because I grew up reading the magazine Essence. Essence is the epitome of beauty for the African-American community. It's a big magazine. Every single person's in it. Obama, Michelle, you know, all the presidents are interviewed through it. And I've always just, it was the book that I had to look at to see beauty and that looked like me. And then they invited me to speak. That's Dr. N. You guys might recognize Dr. N. And Layla Ali, Muhammad Ali's daughter. And that was at Essence just last month. They asked me to be their opening speaker. You know, there are parts of my life now that happens where I see the fruits of my service, the harvest is coming up. I was in the van with John Assaraf about 5 years ago, and I was on the Chicken Soup for the Soul tour, and I was tired, so I started crying. I was like, John, when does it get easier? I've been working so hard. And we're on our way to John Gray's house, and John looked at me all calm and goes, Lisa, you're planting seeds this season. Sweetheart, you cannot plant the seeds and reap the harvest in the same season. Isn't that delicious? Yes, yes? Yes, yes? 3 years later, we're sitting in a limo in Canada, I think, on a tour, and business was phenomenal, and he looks over at me in the limo, and he says, so, how does the harvest taste? And so, are you in the season where you're planting your seeds or reaping your harvest? This was in China. I was on my way to China, and what was really amazing was the level of energy. You see, my interpreter had to do everything I did. Can you imagine? I'm like doing this, and I look at him, and he go like this. The promoter said he was so exhausted that night. And they expected to have me come back once a year, and the reaction that we got from China in July warned him asking me, will I come back in 5 months? So when we leave here, we're on our way back. And, you know, talking about family, keeping family present, my daddy's birthday happened while I was in China, so I took that picture at the Ritz-Carlton's. If you can't read it, it says, happy birthday, Daddy, I love you. And I got a birthday cake from my daddy. Making sure balance happens, making sure balance occurs. I want to tell you a story. We can stop it right there. I want to tell you a story. Let me tell you that first. That's hottie, hottie. So on my birthday, General Motors took me out to a birthday lunch and asked what I consider being the spokesperson for General Motors. And so we're talking about that. I told him we can discuss it. We can talk about it. And so it was just a season for me because, see, I'm that girl who got a D in speech. And my speech teacher said that I should never speak it. He said, quote, unquote, Miss Nichols, you should never speak in public. But that was right after my English teacher gave me a fail and said, Miss Nichols, you're the weakest writer I ever met in my entire life. And I asked her, does a trophy come with that? I'm the best at the worst. Yes, yes? I tell people, don't worry. The story ends really good. Don't get caught up in that part. And the point is that some motivation comes wrapped in sandpaper. Some motivation will come wrapped in sandpaper. Some motivation comes wrapped in sticky, ugly situation that you didn't ask for. And that's still your why. It's not your why not. It's your why. It's always been your why. It will always be your why. I want to share a story with you. In a former life, I was an athlete. And I ran track and I swam competition. I'm going to tell this story really fast. I want to tell you this other really great. I want to have you go through this experience. And I swam the 50-yard dash freestyle, but I had one small problem. I would always, say always.
Always.
I would always come in dead last. Say dead last.
Dead last.
No, say dead last like if I weren't around. Say dead last.
Dead last.
That's how you say it, like she came in. Right? That's all you said. That's okay. Say it in my face. And so I would always come in dead last. If they had 6 lanes, I'd come in 6. If they had 8 lanes, I'd come in 8. If they had 10 lanes, I'd come in 10. And so this particular day, I was tired. I was tired. I'd had 13 swim meets over the summer, and I'd come in dead last on every single one. So I'd always get this honorable mention. You know, the athletes in here know about the honorable mention, right? It's that ribbon that says, thank you for showing up. You know that one, right? It's the one that says, you didn't do diddly squat, but we don't want you to leave here empty-handed. Here you go, y'all. Come back now. You hear? So I had a bunch of honorable mentions. And so the day before the swim meet, I go to my grandmother's house, the safest place on the planet. I said, Grandma, I'm tired. And some of you may be there. You know, we're here being inspired, but let's be honest. Let's be authentic inside the whole journey. The part that I love about my journey is that I get to tell you the truth. I'm not going to try to, because I'm a secret lady, I'm not going to allow anybody to put me in a box and not be real. Yes, yes? Like, it's freedom and authenticity. And that day was a bad day. So I said, Grandma, I'm tired. I'm tired. And if this is you, just raise your hand silently. If you anything I'm saying you can resonate with. I said, Grandma, I'm tired of putting my all in and feeling like I'm not getting anything back out. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I said, Grandma, I'm tired of showing up and no one seems to even acknowledge that I'm here. They just have expectations of me. They don't say that. There's no acknowledgement for just showing up. I said, Grandma, I'm tired of not hearing thank you. I might come in last, but I gave it my best. That was the best I had. I said, Grandma, I quit. She said, quit? I said, quit, ma'am? How am I supposed to say it? She said, come sit here. She said, Grandma wants to tell you a story. I said, oh, she's going to grandma-nize me. She's going to make me think I can fly. She sat down and she said, baby, you might not know this because you're only 15. She said, and I'm going to say this to you because whether you're in this space now or you may have been in this space or you may be on your way to the space, just hold this. I love what Malik said. He said, is it Malik? I want to pronounce correct. Malik said, you know, you write things and they're speaking to your future. I just love that. You know, so just store this in your pocket if it's not for you now. It might be for you in the future. She said, baby, because that's what she say. She said, baby, she said, I don't know if you know, but you were built from the best. She said, so I need to remind you that quitters never win and winners never quit. She said, your grandparents, 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 see, they had a hard life. And they many times wanted to stop. But they didn't because quitters never win and winners never quit. She said, your grandparents, baby, they didn't have laptops and cell phones. They didn't even have cars. They worked sometimes in the fields until the fingers burst with blisters and their feet burst with blisters, and they wanted to stop, but they didn't because quitters never win and winners never quit. She said, so, honey, I don't know if you thought you had the option of quitting. And she said, but Grandma needs to tell you. You need to take that option off the table because that's not who you are. That's not what you're built of. So I got up and I walked out and I was like, I'm never coming over here to quit again. The next day I walked in And I saw the worst sight ever. The worst sight ever in the gym. My entire family in the bleachers. Now, there's only one thing worse than coming in dead last. It's having your entire family witness. You coming in what? I go over to the judge, and I said, Judge, could I just get my honorable mention and leave? I know how this is going to end. He said, no. I said, I'm here for the 15-16 freestyle. He says, oh, you missed your heat already. They swam. I said, oh, cool. He said, wait. Coach, do you want her to swim with the 17-18-year-olds? I was like, oh, no. They have me as appetizers. He said, my coach said, yes. He said, there's one lane open right in the center of the pool. You want her to swim? My coach was like, Lisa, go ahead. I was like, Coach, I don't need to swim. She goes, yeah, you need the practice. I said, I know how to lose. I have mastered losing. I have a loser shrine at home. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Lisa. I get on deck, and I got to tell you, there's a big difference between a 15-year-old girl and an 18-year-old girl. At 15, I had cornrows going back with matching blue barrettes. At 18, Speedo cap. At 15, I had a lace bathing suit, lace going down. At 18, Speedo. At 15, hi, how you guys doing? Hi, my name's Lisa. Could you wait for me when you come? Let's go to the bathroom together. At 18, got on deck, and some of you might be here right now. Someone see your mark? I said, I don't know how I'm going to get through this time. I've done everything I know how to do. This is scary. Some of you might be there. Some of your families might be there. Sit. You said just have faith. Just believe in the unseen. Ask, believe, and receive. And I know, that I deserve to win. I don't quite know how all the time, but I know I deserve it. Pow! The gun went off. I hit the water. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Y'all help me. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. I drew my right arm back. There was one girl even with me. I said, oh, today she comes in what? Dead last. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. I did the flip turn because back then I knew how. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Quitters never win, winners never quit. I hit the wall, I looked to my left, there was no one there. I looked to my right, there was no one there. But you know that negative chatter in our head, right? I said, dang, I'm so slow, they got out the pool already? What? I'm getting slower by the day. Like there's no ripples in the water or anything. I look up at my coach, and she's going crazy. Lisa, Lisa, look, look. I'm like, what, look, look. I look behind me, the first person that hit the halfway mark. But you know our negative chatter, right? I said, Coach, was I supposed to swim 3 laps? Yes, yes? My coach runs over to me. She goes, Lisa, well, what did you do differently? What did you? I've been training with you all summer long. I've coached you. What have you done differently? I was like, what are you talking? I put the barrettes in my hair. I went to my grandma's house yesterday, and she taught me something. She taught me quitters never win and winners never quit. So I just like chanted that the whole time I was swimming. She was like, what have you been chanting? I was like, I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose. Don't lose. I said, what happened, Coach? What happened? She said, you just broke the 17-18 national record. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. The only variable that changed was the conversation going on in my head. The only variable that changed was what I could believe I could do. Nothing else changed. I want to take you on a journey right quick. I'm going to ask Aaron, is it? I'm going to ask Aaron to play a little music in a minute. I want to take you on a journey before we part ways, and I want to gift you with a little something. Before you do that, just one moment. 10 years ago, a gentleman walked me through a visualization, and I was in a room with 800 people, and he had us sit and close our eyes. And every time he would do this exercise, I'd sat with him and did this exercise like 8-10 times. Every time he did it, it made a knot in my stomach. I was so uncomfortable, and it was so weird because he had us sit with our eyes closed and listen to Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech. But when I would listen to it, it would just make me so uncomfortable. I didn't understand it. And I realized that the dream that I had, I was afraid if it came true. Like some of you are not afraid of it not working. You get nervous about if it does work. Like I'm that little girl who's ordinary, who simply chose every day to make extraordinary decisions. I'm that girl who said, I'll say yes to my greatness with knees knocking and teeth chattering. I'll still say yes. I'll say yes not knowing the how or the when, but just the fact that it has to be.
Yes.
And so I just stopped by Costa Rica with you. Just stir your soul a bit to make it uncomfortable for you to stay where you are. Wherever that is, I don't care about your bio. I'm not impressed by bios. Bios don't impress me. I want to know who are you becoming. I'm invested in your tomorrow far more than your yesterday. You like your resume. I'm invested in your future. And so I want to take you on this journey in our last few minutes together. The way I was taken on this journey, and if it makes you mildly to moderately to significantly uncomfortable the way it made me, then welcome to my world. Yes, yes. That sometimes your champion can't fit in your body. And when it's uncomfortable and you're turning upside down, that's your champion saying, I will not rest until you let me out. I didn't come here. I wasn't given to you to just sit here. To take up real estate in your dreams. Well, I'm asking you to get up, strap me to your back, and let the world see me. So if my conversation causes you to jolt a little bit, causes you to squirm a little bit, then welcome to my world. I want you to take a deep breath, sit up straight, empty everything out of your hands. Take a deep breath. I'm going to play a little music now. This gentleman talked about Dr. King. Dr. King had a vision that each one of us will have the opportunity to live our life in our own righteousness. And that any one of us, black, white, Asian, Latino, that any other color, any other culture, we get to play together. That man and woman is seen for their heart, their spirit, and their contribution. That's what Dr. King said. And he said something so important. He said, I might not be there. I might not be there when you're able to do these things. Like imagine a dream so big that he said, I might not be there when you get to do it. But I'm going to still hold the dream and create it. That I'm willing to live, speak, and die for this dream. I might not get there with you, but we'll get there. Like, imagine a dream so deep, so visceral, so real, that he's willing to lay his life on the line for you and I. For us to have this moment. So that a little black girl from South Central LA can come to Costa Rica with all of you and have this experience. And so I ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What's your dream now? I want you to visualize your dream. I want you for a moment to see yourself 5 years out, and you didn't hit all your goals. You surpassed all your goals. Everything you wanted, you got it, and then some.
Yes, yes.
There is your dream to the third power came true. Just imagine that. Take a deep breath. Imagine yourself driving up to your home, and this is the very same exercise that he gave me. You're driving up to your home, and whatever that car is, that fabulosity thing that's important to you that makes you feel good when you're rolling down the highway. And you pull up, and the gates open, and you drive another half a mile up to your house. I told you the dream was better than you thought. I said to the third power, you have to drive a half a mile to the house. And you drive to your home, and I love this because David was talking about this yesterday with John's home, and it was just such a great setup. Now we're going into your home. We're not in John's home. We're not in David's home. We're not in Warren Buffett's home. We're in your home. Yes. You open the double doors. You smell lavender. You hear music. You go into your dining room, and there's a table that seats about 15 to 20 people, and every chair is full with your most fabulous, favorite people on the planet, your family. And the person that you've had problems with in your family, they're sitting right next to you because you worked those out. I told you everything is better than you imagine. Everything is better than you imagine. And they're laughing and talking, thanking you for 5 years ago, coming to Costa Rica to Awesome Fest, having the visualization that got you busy. They're thanking you. Everyone's celebrating, lifting their glass, seeing your vision. See them lifting their glass to you, saying, thank you for showing us how to dream again. Thank you. And you're just standing there so humble. Thank you for going to Awesome Fest the first year, the second year, the third year, the fourth year, because something in us has changed because you changed. Can you see it, you guys? And you sit there and you break bread. The person who cooks the best, they cook today. I told you it was a good day. And you're breaking bread, and all of a sudden you get a phone call, and you're reminded that you need to go to this event. You apologize. You tell them to keep playing, keep have fun. There's 15 rooms in the house, so everyone has a place to sleep. You get into your car, and you drive up the highway. And as you get close to the stadium event, you run into a traffic jam. And you start getting nervous. Oh, my God, I'm going to be late. Oh, my God, I'm going to be late. Picture a traffic jam, you guys. Feel yourself getting nervous. I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late. Oh, my God. And all of a sudden, you forget for a moment that all these people were coming to see you, that this is your traffic jam. You arrive to the event 10 minutes late, and everyone's just excited that you came. They don't care. And you stand on stage. Just like this. And you look out at 10,000 people all showing up just for you. And you open your speech with thank you. And before you can get another word out, someone from the back, number 9,997 person, yells, no, thank you. Then another person from the far left yells, thank you. And then someone from the far right yells, thank you. Then one by one, all 10,000 people, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You hear some tears. You hear some older people. You hear young people. Yo, thank you. And for 20 minutes, you just stand there just listening to thank you. And then you get it. You didn't show up to talk.
You showed up so that they can acknowledge your contribution. And you decide to close every door in the stadium. And you stand at one door and you hug every single person. And they're happy to wait 6 hours to be hugged by you. You inspire them to live again, to breathe again, to play big, to be strange. You inspire them by your life, not by what you said, but by who you chose to be. And you hug them. And that 40-year-old woman says, thank you for letting me know that I can live my dreams. I can be a mother and a wife and be me. And that 70-year-old man says, thank you for letting me know that it's not too late. And that 16-year-old girl says, thank you for letting me know I can make mistakes, do it all wrong, and then still get it all right. And that 15-year-old boy says, thank you for letting me know I ain't got to do it anybody else's way but mine. And everyone just thanks you. Take a deep breath. Open your eyes as you're comfortable. Can you see your future? On January 19th, 2008, I was driving down the 405 freeway on my way to the San Diego Stadium with my girlfriend. The top was down on my convertible. I was playing some NDIRE, and we ran into a traffic jam. And my girlfriend just, in fun and jest, said, Lisa, what if this is your traffic jam? And I just start bawling, just at the thought. It wasn't mine, but the thought was good. And then we start getting nervous because we weren't moving at all. And I only had 20 minutes to go, and I needed to get there. And so she pulled up. She was driving. She pulled up next to this white truck, and she said, can we get in? And he said, sure. Casually waved us in. We got in front of him. He leaned out his window. He said, because I'm going to see you anyway. Oh, I really start bawling. I'm bawling now. I'm bawling. Wait, it gets crazier. So we're driving down the highway, and this woman pulls up in this Escalade, beautiful Escalade. It looked like it was like a 2013 Escalade. Window goes down. She goes, what time are you going on? I was like, I think as soon as I get there. She said, then I'm going to stay behind you because I only came to see you. We get to the off-ramp, and there's nowhere to go. You know an off-ramp. There's nowhere to go. And it's 5 minutes until I'm supposed to be on stage. Tony Robbins is on before me. I'm hoping he's a little long-winded today, you know, because I need some time. But he's on time, and I need to be there. And I'm sitting in the car, and one by one, the other cars start pointing at me, looking in their rearview mirror, and they begin to pull up on the side ramps of the highway and open up like the Red Sea. And as I drove through, all they yelled was, thank you. See, 10 years ago, I had that dream. I was asked to do the very same thing I just asked you to do. So if no one has told you yet, I'll tell you, what you just did was place an order to the universe. When I got to the stadium, there wasn't 10,000 people there waiting on me. There was 10,500. And so I'll close with, your life is waiting. You may have played big, but there's bigger. There's more people to be served. And so I want to thank you for allowing me to spend this time in front of you. Thank you for allowing me to bring my stories to you. Thank you for allowing me to share my grandmother with you and my journey with you. I say again, I'm not extraordinary. I'm simply an ordinary woman who chooses every day to make extraordinary decisions. And what that does is that doesn't let you off the hook. I love you. I honor you. I celebrate you. I'm your sister in prosperity and in possibility. And on the days when your faith about who you can be wavers, I hold my faith in you because it ain't wavering. I love you.
ready to play full out. What did you think? Any questions, comments, concerns? Star 6, press 1. All right. Well, I'm ready to play full out. I'm ready to let my gift shine. And I wanted to let you know today that your dreams are calling and your story is waiting to be told. Are you ready to tell it? Let's do it, family. That's today's message, that our story be told. All right. Let me check and then Blog Talk Radio. All right, family. Be quiet today. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. Reminded that our story is waiting to be told, that somebody is waiting to hear our story. Family, your dreams are calling. It's time to claim that power and step in. I'm going to leave you with this song, Keep On by D-Train. Remember, your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family, don't just dream. Live your God-sized dream. right, family. Have a great day. Keep on pressing.